Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning and welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition. You're truly Dennis Shippens. 10:30 a.m. on Monday, July 9th, 2018. 78 degrees, sunny outside. And I had a wonderful, wonderful weekend, if not too restful. I mean, I didn't get any rest. And what is that old maxim? No rest for the weary. So I did a lot of running around, but I had my kid. And we basically did nothing, man. I mean, for the last 2 weeks, I had to run to Atlanta and pick up some equipment for the business. That was extraordinarily exhausting because we only spent the night, because we're going to get down there so late. And we started out relatively late because I had every intention of leaving earlier in the morning. But I didn't want to take either my car. My truck is in the shop. It's been there for 7 months. Don't ask me, please. And those that want to join the conversation, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. You're tuned into Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. So I wanted to rent a truck, and this is where, God is good. Because typically when I listen to my first mind, I never go wrong. I really do not. My instincts are typically head-on. So something said, Dennis, do not get an economy car or a mid-size, even a full-size car. Get an SUV and get a pickup particularly. So that's what I did. I went for it. It was extraordinarily cheap. A little under $200 for the 3 days that I had a vehicle because it was due back on the 4th of July. Obviously, they didn't charge me for the 4th, which reminds me I have to call Enterprise up and find out where my deposit is because they also took an additional $200 in addition to the rental fee as a deposit. So I contacted them. I think I'm going to follow up. I give them until tomorrow. So me and my kid, the very well-appointed Ford F-150. Typically, I wouldn't drive a Ford. I'm a GM man, generally Pontiac man, particularly Pontiacs never made trucks. So I've gravitated towards Chevy, and I have a Suburban customized. I'm a car man through and through. Have always been all my life. So we took a nice ride down, man. I mean, we hauled the ass down there, and it was so late when we got down there. I wind up getting a hotel. My girl had contacted a hotel in Atlanta, and I went over there. We took showers and ate, watched television, and I drifted off to sleep because I knew we had to get up early in the morning, and a good thing that we did. Now, I have plenty of family and friends in Atlanta, don't get me wrong, but I knew absolutely that I could not hang out down there or try to alert anyone to my presence in the town. So we got over to where we needed to be, the government facility, secure facility, by the way, armed guards, brothers, African-American guys doing their thing, retired ex-military or ex-law enforcement, and we went in. And the monitors, they were monitors, plasma. Now, I know plasma is superior technology to anything that's on the market today, including projectors. I did not know, and I'm a techno freak. I really am. I mean, I'm a technology buff through and through. Trained myself in IT. I'm trained as a social and behavioral scientist, for those that listen to the show, with professional degrees in law and psychology. But I have always gravitated towards the intersection of technology and social and behavioral science, which is why we created Applied Anthropologics. Before that, it was named Applied Psychometrics or Psychologics. I don't even remember what it was named, but I have the old capability statement somewhere around here. I'm gonna have to look it up. So anyway, long story short, we get in. A very nice young sister, you know, told me to meet her at the, you know, such and such a dock, and we went over there. And those monitors, I got them in sizes ranging from 60 inches to 40 inches. I brought three of them. They were so heavy, I kid you not, they had to be palletized. The 60-inch plasma monitor, NEC, which is top of the line, this thing probably retailed for $5,000 or $6,000, brand new, if not more, weighed 350 pounds. It took three of us to get it inside. It's just unbelievable. So fortunately for us, they all have the mounts still attached, which makes them somewhat even heavier. So we're trying to figure out a solution now to where to mount them at, because obviously if you mount them on a wall and don't mount them to the studs, the load-bearing studs in the wall, it's going to pull right out of the frame, and you know I can't have that. These things are too heavy. And you can't replace them. At $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a shot, you know, we certainly cannot afford to damage this equipment. So anyway, thank God. The point of the story is, and those that listen to the show on a routine basis know that I typically take these digressions and I often get back to where we need to be. If I had not had that pickup, it would have been a wasted trip. Thank God. God is good, because, I mean, they fit like a glove, just perfect in the pickup. I mean, the 60-inch nearly took up all the space, I kid you not, in the pickup. So we got them back, got them out safe, returned the truck, and now I have to figure out where my deposit is. But, yeah, so me and my kid, we took a long trip down, long trip up. He played with his tablet most of the way in between talking, eating, and sleeping. So, we tend to, let me just talk about me, Dennis Shipman. I tend to take the long view in most things. And I feel it's just important to spend time with my kid. Not necessarily doing anything. I try to, but life is what it is. And oftentimes you can't do what you want to do. I'm a martial artist, have been an avid martial artist for most of my life. As a matter of fact, I'm throwing we're going to talk about this over the next couple of weeks. We're going to post something on our website, too, and Facebook. I'm doing something for my instructor, Magnificent Louis Ferrer, out of Brooklyn, New York, in September. So I'm trying to figure out what date we're choosing. As a matter of fact, I got to get with my partner and see Xavier Carson. I'm laughing because I don't know if he wants me to say it, but he's a Customs and Border Patrol agent. And, they're catching a lot of flack now because of their sister sub-agency, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. And people frequently confuse the two, but they have different missions, similar but distinct, whereas ICE deals almost exclusively with immigrants, Customs and Border Protection, which is what my buddy does, CBP. Deals mostly with customs. They board ships and trains and stuff, things like that, are coming into the ports and inspect them for contraband and drugs and that sort of thing. And he's been doing that for quite a while, just shy of 40 years. And he's older than me. I had to put that in there because I didn't want anybody to think, oh my God, he's been doing it for 40 years. He has to be 60. He's not quite 60, but you know, I guess he got started young, right out of the military, and he's been there ever since in a variety of positions. And he says he's done next year, so we'll see. I thought he was done this year, but at any rate, me and him are spearheading this. We were going to have it down in Somerset County, Maryland, where I have some land, which I'm having a problem with. Anybody know a good attorney? Because you know, attorney. Who represents himself as a fool for a client. So I certainly am not adverse to doing my own legal work, but in this case, I think it's best to retain conflict counsel. You know, I know a lot of attorneys don't like to represent other attorneys simply because we know what they're doing, and we know if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that it often causes conflicts that most shysters would rather avoid. So that's where I'm at, then I've watched some very, very, very good sports, and this is not a sports show, so we're not going to spend a great deal of time on that, but, you know, the World Cup was interesting. Could not believe Brazil got knocked out, then Russia. So now we have the European teams left, because you know what they do? They plunder Africa for all the premier talent and give these guys, you know, $1 million-plus contracts. And so, you know, you have Belgium and France and England, you know, with the best, the absolute best talent, you know, because they plunder Ghana and Nigeria and all these sub-Saharan African countries, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia. And these guys come over there and they play their hearts out, man, and it makes for really, really good matches. So we watched some really, really good matches. I was stunned, you know, because I was with Brazil, even though Brazil has its own little conflicts, you know, around race and that sort of thing. You know, you can't get around this colonial, this vestige of colonialism in these South American and certainly African countries, excuse me. And then after that, I watched some golf. I know Tiger Woods was trying to do something. I don't know what's up with the guy. I really can't understand it. Then I'm not a great fan of Tiger because of his own denunciation or refusal to admit that he's African-American, you know, Calabasian. What is Calabasian? I mean, you know, but everybody has a right to self-identify in a manner that they see fit. So I'm not going to hold it against the guy, but I'm not exactly a fan. Nevertheless, there aren't many, you know, since Lee Elders, the black golfer, since he retired, Tiger has been, you know, the premier African-American or black or whatever he wants to call himself, person of color on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I got so much going on in my life, and I was telling my son this here because, you know, we just have, you know, without getting, you know, putting my personal business in the street, you know, we just have a little problem with our scheduling. And by we, I mean his mother and I. And so I don't have him as often as I am entitled. I'll just leave it like that. And I can't put him in things that I would like him to be in, tennis, golf, but, you know, high-income sports, where if he becomes good enough at these things, you know, he could earn at least a scholarship, if not necessarily earn a living at doing it. So it segues nicely into the last sport that we watched yesterday, which was the Williams sister. Venus, you know, fought off a very aggressive opponent, but subsequently fell to her valleys. And but it was a good match nonetheless. And, you know, of course, her sister Serena won her seventh or eighth. I'm not really sure. I believe Federer has a record at eight. But I believe Serena's right behind him with seven. And she looked great. She really did. I mean, she's always been a very buxom woman. And since she's had the baby, she's, you know, she's a professional athlete, so she's, you know, she's back in, obviously, a competitive shape. And her baby's cute as a button. And if she's happy, I'm happy for her. She looks strong on the tour. And they show, neither her nor her sister show any sign of relaxing, although Venus, her skills have diminished significantly. And, you know, she's just shy of 40. And I don't, you know, I can't presume to speak for these women, so I don't know what they're going to do in terms of their career. I know that Serena was talking about having another child, so she's feeling in the mom kind of ways somewhat. I don't know how that's going to impact her tennis career, because that's how she makes her, living. And I'm sure these women have stocked some of their loot away. They live in a very nice area down in Florida, Palm Beach. You can't go wrong, you know, in that area. Warm all the time, you know, very nicely appointed. And they live in a gated community, obviously, because of the celebrity. They used to live together, but I'm sure they're, you know, since Serena got married, I'm sure that she's gotten her own spot now. So that's it with that. So that basically is how my weekend went, man. And then I took my child home yesterday. And it was virtually no traffic to take him there. And the traffic getting back, man, was abysmal. It was really bad. You know, you have people driving on the interstate at 30 miles an hour for no obvious reason. I'm thinking that there are 100 cars in front of some people, and then you move into the passing lane, which I don't like to do because, you know, I'm driving my sports car. For some reason, the mirror I won't adjust properly. It's an aftermarket mirror on there. That's another expense that I got to born at some point, take it to the dealership and get the correct mirror on it. So I can't, you know, see necessarily, and, you know, I don't want to merge into a car and damage my car and possibly injure me or my child. But it was just me and a car on the way back. And then you get in front of these cars, and there's absolutely nothing in front of there, man. This is like the bane of my existence, you know, like people that feel they have an absolute right to be on the interstate in the passing lane doing 30 miles an hour. I believe the minimum speed limit on most interstates, limited access roads, is 40 miles an hour. And, you know, for them not to be doing that and then adding insult to injury by being in the passing lane is absolutely incredible. And, you know, that we allow this. There should be some enforcement of that alone. So I finally got back. I mean, it was well after 10 o'clock. I was exhausted, so I fell into a stupor. Didn't even take a shower. Just collapsed. And got up, and I'm prepared for the day. We're going to get this book finished up. And I was telling you guys that I'm trying to work with platform support on the website to get. Well, we have excerpts of the book up there. And I want everybody to do this. We really need to garner some interest in this because we'll probably wind up self-publishing. You know, I've taken a lot of creative control over my property, my intellectual property, my creative property. So I need people to go to www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Or www.eastnewyorkmanagement.com. It doesn't matter. It should redirect you there. And if it doesn't, give me a call or send me a text or email or something like that. Our contact information is on the website. And just take a read of the excerpt and let us know what you think because we're going to get this done by the end of the year. I promise my family that I would absolutely get this done, and I'm determined. So I'm working with, you know, and I don't type. I really don't. And that's the problem. I know it sounds simple. So there's a simple solution to it, and that's just to use the old dictaphone. Now, dictaphone doesn't exist any longer, but there are a variety of technical solutions out there, namely Nuance's Dragon Naturally Speaking, which was something that was created for disabled populations, persons with some sort of voice impediments and or sight impediments, you know, basically people with disabilities to expand their ability to be productive. It's an adaptive or an assistant technology, basically. And out of that, they created all these analogy. I don't know what the distinction could possibly be, if there is indeed a distinction. But we've asked them for a solution for me because it could get very expensive very quick. I mean, you know, depending on which version you eventually go with. But that will help me tremendously because, as you can see, I talk very rapidly, and I could dictate the book quicker than I could type it. It would have been finished. And I did actually employ this technology some months ago, and that has given me a new sort of lease on life because it really sparked my renewed interest in completing. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side of the break and finish up.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse, the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
Shipman, it's 10:51 a.m. Monday, July 9, 2018, 78 degrees and sunny here in Brooklyn. And I was talking about my weekend, man. I had a very exhausting but, you know, really, really interesting weekend. And like I said, I'm really excited about that, you know, because I've taken a lot more, and you really have to. And I know it seems axiomatic. You know, it's obvious that you need to be more involved. You know, an example with the website. And you know, I'm an IT professional. I mean, I really do embrace technology. You know, I've always been, you know, a student of technology, and so, you know, I like most people, I was intimidated by coding and that sort of thing. But you know, when WordPress came out as a platform, it makes everything much easier. So we had it set up. I'm not going to say that, you know, I did it. I didn't. Someone else did it. And, you know, it's just a basic four pane, you know, that we expanded into, you know, a little more than that. And all I'm doing is updating content, patches, security, even a platform. And, you know, it's nothing spectacular. Then you don't really need a spectacular website unless you have a company of this size. You know, we're a 1-2-3-man operation. And so I don't, you know, I just need a presence online. So the only thing that we're working on now is the keyword, the tags, meta tags, and that sort of thing in order to convert our visits and not have, you know, a high bounce rate and that sort of thing. So that takes a lot of tweaking, and that's, you know, not necessarily something that's beyond me, but, you know, people want to get their $60, $70, $80, $90 an hour to tell you how to do something that you can figure out. And as an IT professional, I should understand and do understand the technology well enough that I just have to get some help desk assistance. And, you know, again, I'm waiting for the platform help desk to get back to me, and they prefer to talk on the phone or then to send you a ticket. They don't use the traditional ticketing system. So, and I'm not, you know, I like to talk, but I find it stressful. I prefer to explain what I need done, and then, you know, they can take it from there, but this guy doesn't want to cooperate. So I'm going to wind up escalating at some point, probably not today. I have a couple other tasks that I want to attend, namely seeing if we can follow up with Nuance to get this, either get this software installed on one of the workstations here, or and the server. server, you know, as a matter of fact, I have a server coming, and I'm just trying to measure the temperature in the area in which we want to install it. And, you know, it'll probably be, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a web server yet. I haven't really made the decision, you know, as I'm trying to figure out how to set it up. But it'll probably be an application server or collaboration server, and then I'm looking at different options in terms of operating systems and how I'm going to wire it, because, you know, both locations, you know, both at my home and at the brick-and-mortar location, we have high-speed connections. You know, we absolutely have premium, you know, connectivity to the World Wide Web. So we you know, that's not, you know, that's not a problem for us. And that further give me additional control over our content, over our ability to, you know, maintain security and that sort of thing, you know. So to give us an additional capacity that I'm looking forward to. So I gotta, you know, I wrote to people again. I brought this stuff from the government surplus, and I gotta figure out how much this daggone thing weighs. You know, because these servers aren't necessarily light, you know, and that factors into the shipping costs. Because obviously, if it's, you know, over 40 or 50 pounds, you know, that your shipping goes up dramatically. So we're going to work out a solution. As a matter of fact, once the show is over, I'm on my way to Staples to send out a box for you know, a backup laptop that I also received. And that's just for one of the other businesses that we just got. You know, we're using tablets. And we found that they didn't have enough functionality. And part of what the problem was it's just, it doesn't have enough processing power. So we're, you know, whereas the laptop does, and you can mount the laptop in a variety of ways in this in the vehicle that it's going in, and so I look forward to doing that, you know, upgrading, you know, the operating system, that sort of thing. But so we're, you know, as you can see, you know, from my enthusiasm, we're very excited about the direction in which we're going, the company's going. I know I haven't had any guests on in quite a few months. I've just been, you know, like I said, we're 1-2-3-man operations, so, you know, I have to wear all the hats, literally and figuratively speaking. And I haven't, and then I was going to have Les Payne back on, I kid you not. And, you know, former editor of Newsday, African-American guy, you know, a veritable legend at Newsday. And he passed away, you know, a couple of months ago, so. So at any rate, we hope that you have a great week, and we will too, and we'll be back with more of the very best here on the Marketing Pulpit International New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. Have a great week.
Can afford.